Psalm 52 starts off, it's got a little couple of notes at the top, and interesting that the Holy Spirit has given us some insights along the way for these Psalms. It starts off saying, for the director of music. Now, if we look at that, there's 55 different Psalms start off for the director of music. So it seems that quite a number of the Psalms, there's 150 of them, that the Psalms, some of them were to be sung or to be said more than once, like this for the director of music. Some of them even have a name of a tune that it's to be sung to or said to. So we don't know what those tunes are, what the top 10 of that day were, but some of them have some interesting names. So we knew that there were some tunes that the director of music knew, and some of the psalms were to be put to that music. David, while he was preparing to build the tabernacle or the temple, God told him, the temple is not for you to build, it's for your son, but you can prepare for it. So one of the things David did, he took the descendants of Levi, the sons of Levi, they were to be the priestly tribe, and particularly the sons of Aaron, who by this time Aaron had quite a family. Aaron was not around, but quite a number of his family were. And David organized them into singing groups as well as other jobs around the temple. So when the temple would be built, there would be already groups of worshipers and ways of leading worship. So to the director of music, he would be the leader, and he would use this psalm during their time of worship. So the note is here, for the director of music, a maskil. Now David seems to have had two types of writing that he enjoyed. One we talked about before was called a miktam. And a miktam was something that was solid. So a number of his psalms where he says, God is my refuge, my fortress. And that was David talking about a miktam, something that was solid, and is also a memorial, something memorable. And usually the psalms that he wrote miktams, and when we look at Psalm, I think it's 56 on to 60 are a number of David's miktams, where he's writing about things that are solid, and he put his faith solidly in the Lord. And that was the miktam. Well, this one, psalm that David wrote, is a maskil. Now, maskil is something different. Maskil is a type of instruction, or it's a passing on of wisdom, or teaching, or understanding. So this particular psalm, and there's a number of other psalms that are miktams, there's 13 of them, and David wrote 5. So the maskils are instructions. So this psalm is going to be an instruction. We're to learn to get some understanding and some wisdom from this particular psalm, this maskil. So he also has a little note there of why he put this psalm together. It's when Doeg the Edomite had gone to Saul and told him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. So there's a particular reason that David put this together. And it's because this guy, Doeg, did a particular thing that stuck out in David's mind. So we want to find out what was going on here. So let's go over it. 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel 21, David, we already know by this time in Samuel, David has been anointed king, and Saul, the king of Israel, has been rejected as king. So God has rejected Saul. God has taken his spirit from Saul and put it on David. And David has been mightily working with the spirit. And God has replaced Saul's spirit with an evil spirit that troubles him from time to time. Now David, to help him out, besides being the warrior that he was, David played the harp. And when he played the harp, maybe he played some of these maskils or some of these miktams, but he played the harp for Saul, and when he did, this spirit of Saul would kind of leave him, and Saul would be soothed by this, but there was a time when David did some, went out to a, fought a war, and when he was coming back, the women were singing, their top song was, David has, or Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And when Saul heard that, he realized this was not good. They were looking to David as being more important than him. And from that on, that time on, Saul was jealous of David. So Saul was sitting one day with his spear while David was playing his harp, singing to him. And Saul decided to try to pin David to the wall with his spear. And David escaped. Now David escaped a couple of times, but this particular escape here will say, chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, David went to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. Now this was in Nob was a city. It was a priestly city where a number of the priests live. And Nob would be where David could go and talk over with the priest what had just happened with him and Saul and try and get some encouragement there. We find out here what happened. David went to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" Usually David traveled with a group of soldiers because he was out on a campaign. So for some reason, David comes to him by himself, and this kind of makes Ahimelech the priest wonder a little bit about why David is here all by himself. David answered Ahimelech the priest, "The king charged me with a certain matter and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about your mission and your instructions. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place.'" Now, don't really know if David is telling a little white lie or if he really is on the king's business, when maybe stretching the truth, him being the anointed king, he is on a secret mission, and that's to get away from the real king who wants to kill him. But David, what he says here, doesn't seem to fit with everything that's going on. So, "As for my men, I've told them to meet me at a certain place." Well, David's traveled by himself. When he escaped from Saul, he escaped by himself. He didn't take any guys with him. So David appears to be by himself here. So he doesn't seem to have any men with him, but the priest doesn't know that. And David seems to be to say here that the men are going to meet him later on. And that may be. We'll find out that David does have a collection of men later on that meet him. Verse 4, "The priest answered David, 'I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women.' David replied, 'Indeed, women have been kept from us as usual whenever I set out. The men's things are holy, even on our missions, if they're not. How much more so today?' So the priest gave him the consecrated bread when there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away." Now this is the bread that's in the tabernacle. There's 12 loaves of bread that are set before the Lord to remind them that there's 12 tribes. So there's 12 loaves of bread there, and they replace the bread periodically. And that's the only bread that the priest has, is when they put the fresh bread down, the priest can eat that bread that they take up. So that's the only extra bread that he has, and David asked him for it. So David notices something, and this is interesting, the way the Holy Spirit puts things into his word. The Holy Spirit, we don't know the person who actually penned the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, but the person that did, the Holy Spirit, is truly the author, and the Holy Spirit put this little note in, verse 7. "Now one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord. He was Doeg the Edomite, Saul's head shepherd." Now maybe David noticed him, because David, being a shepherd, might notice another shepherd. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit puts in that Doeg the Edomite was detained before the Lord there in Nob. So that he's there when David comes, and Doeg happens to see David come and sees that he's talking with Ahimelech. David asked Ahimelech, "Don't you have a spear or sword here? I haven't brought any sword or any other weapon, because the king's business was urgent." The priest replied, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah is here. It's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There's no sword here but that one. And David says, there is none like that sword. Give it to me. So he's got Goliath's sword, and he's got the loaves of bread that came off the table of showbread. So that's what he's going to do. But there's just him there by himself. Now here it says, that day David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. Now we've already talked about that. Him going to Gath with Goliath's sword turns out not to be such a good idea, because the people at Gath certainly recognize him. And they say, isn't this King David? Isn't this the person they sing about? David's killed his, or Saul's killed his thousands, but David is 10,000s. And what they're saying is, thousands of Philistines that David has killed, and thousands. So the Philistines recognize him, and he flees Gath. Well, chapter 22 says, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. So his family joins him when he goes to hide out. So apparently David again has been by himself. It's just David himself. And now his family goes there, and then verse 2 is an interesting verse 2. Then all those who were, and here we got the three D's are the people that join him. The people that are in distress or in debt or discontented. Now that's a good army to have. People are distressed, people are in debt, or people are, that are discontent. But he's got 400 guys there gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. So now David's got a group of men with him, and he's hiding out. So verse 6 of chapter 22, now Saul heard that David and his men had been discovered, and Saul, spear in hand, as usual, was seated under the tamarisk tree on the hill of Gibeah, and all his officials standing around him. Now this is something else. Saul has a number of people that surround him, and sometimes they give him good advice, and sometimes they don't give him good advice. But it seems like most of the advice he gets is not so good. Saul said to them, listen, men of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make all of you commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? In other words, all the people that are sitting around him, will the son of Jesse, will David give you the same bribes that I'm giving you? So none of you is connected, is concerned about me, or tells me that my son has incited my servant to lie in wait for me as he does today. So Saul says here, how come nobody's telling me about where David is hiding out to ambush me? Well, David is thinking of anything but ambush. Saul's the one that's ambushed him several times trying to pin him to the wall with a spear. But nobody's told him where David is. But and now we find out why the Holy Spirit put that in before. But Doeg, the Edomite, who was standing with Saul's official, said, I saw the son of Jesse come to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him. Well, did he? It didn't say that he did. So Ahimelech, Doeg here adds a little bit to the story. Ahimelech acquired of the Lord for him. He also gave him provisions and the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Then the king said to the priest Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, and his father's whole household, sent for them, who were the priest at Nob, and they all came to the king. Saul said, listen now, son of Ahitub. Yes, my lord. Saul said to him, why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, giving him bread and a sword and inquiring of God for him, so that he has rebelled against me and lies in wait for me as he does today? So Saul's seeing David as a threat, but he's seeing David as an attack threat, not a hiding threat. And David is hiding out. But he's questioning Ahimelech, why did you help David? Ahimelech answered the king, who of all your servants is as loyal as David, the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard, and highly respected in your household? Was that day the first time I inquired of God for him? Of course not. Let not the king accuse your servant of any or any of his father's family, for your servant knows nothing about all this whole affair. So Ahimelech didn't know what was going on, and David didn't tell him. David just said he was on a secret mission, and that secret mission was to get away from Saul. But the king said, "You will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your father's whole family." Then the king ordered the guards at his side, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because they had too have sided with David." But they knew he was fleeing, yet they did not tell me. But the king's officials were not willing to raise a hand to strike the priest of the Lord. So these folks that are standing around Saul, they're trying to get on Saul's good side, but killing the priest of the Lord is not a way to do that, because they're the priests of the Lord, and they're just not going to do that. The king ordered Doeg, "You turn and strike down the priests." So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck them down. That day he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. So he killed 85 of the priests. The priests that lived at Nob. Those are the priests that did all of the work around the tabernacle with the sacrifices and the ones that kept the oil lamp going and the bread on the table. That was their job. So Doeg killed all 85 of them. That day he killed 85 men who wore the ephod. He also put to the sword Nob, the town of the priest, with its men and women, its children and infants, its cattle, donkeys, and sheep. But Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, escaped and joined David. He told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. Then David said to Abiathar, "That day when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, 'I am responsible for the death of your father's whole family. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who is seeking your life is seeking mine also. You will be safe with me.'" Now, Abiathar will come up later on in some other stories of David. But that this whole incident is what encouraged David to write Psalm 52. And he starts off, "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man?" Now, when he's calling Doeg the mighty man, I think that's being a bit facetious, because over in 2 Samuel 23 is a list of David's mighty men. And verse 8 says, "These are the names of David's mighty men." And he gives the names of them. This one man was chief of the three mighty men. He raised a spear against 800 whom he killed in one encounter. Well, the 800 that he killed were all Philistine armed warriors. So the list of mighty men, when he lists the accomplishments are against armed Philistines. Here, when he's talking to Doeg, he says, "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God?" What could Doeg boast about? "I killed 85 unarmed priests. I went to their town of Nob, and I killed all the men, the women, the children, the infants, and I even killed all their animals." Now, that's quite a boast for a mighty man. And that's why I think he's saying here, "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man?" Which is being just the opposite of being nice to him. Doeg was not a mighty man at all. "Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God, who would kill the priests?" So Doeg, being an Edomite like that, we see that he truly was an enemy of Israel. "Your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor, you who practice deceit." Now, in talking with Saul, he told on David that Ahimelech had inquired of the Lord for him. And it doesn't say that he did that. So it sounds like he might have been making things up. But this might not have been the first time. If David is making this psalm, David being a shepherd and having been in the court of Saul, if Doeg was a chief shepherd, maybe David knew a little bit more about Doeg than other people did, him being a shepherd. But anyway, he's bringing out here that Doeg, "Your tongue plots destruction like a sharpened razor, you who practice deceit. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, oh, you deceitful tongue." And his deceitful tongue did get Ahimelech and the whole family of priests there, got them executed. And then not only that, he went and executed the whole city of Nob, the whole priestly city. Now, I want to look at as we're looking at this psalm, the first starts off with you. He's talking about you, Doeg. Then verse 5, surely God will bring you down. Verse 6, the righteous will see. And then finally, in verse 8, but I am like an olive tree. So there's four different sections here that he writes about. So first is Doeg and his mighty infamy. Surely God will bring you down, verse 5, down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and tear you from your tent. So David's thinking, because he was such an evil person, that people that practice evil before the Lord takes care of them. The Lord doesn't allow them to get away with it. Now, you might not see the Lord do that, but the Lord doesn't let these things go by. He takes care of things that need to be taken care of. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Thinking of uprooting, he's drawing the picture here of not only is he just snatching him out of the tent, he's actually uprooting him, taking him out from everything that he knows and everything that is his. So the Lord's going to take care of everything for this man. Then the righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at him, saying, now the righteous sees that the Lord takes care of business. Even though we don't see it, we don't hear about it, the Lord does take care of things. And when we pray to him and ask him for help, when we leave things to him in prayer, he does take care of it. He takes care of our healing, but he also knows when things are not going well. He's watching over that too. The righteous will see what happens to Doeg and men like him and fear. They will laugh at him, saying, now, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold. And that was David. A lot of the Psalms say, God will be my refuge, my stronghold. Well, here is a man who did not make God his stronghold, and that's why God is going to take care of him. But trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. And that's not a way to be successful, by stepping on other people. And yet we know that there are some people that do make it to the top by stepping on others, but they don't stay there. The Lord takes care of them as well. And then for us, the good part, the positive part, the part of instruction, but I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. So there's the difference between the two, between Doeg and men like him that boast of their evil. But David wants to be like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name, I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. So, for David sees God's hand on him, and we know from the rest of the story of David how God raised David up to be king, and how Saul met his end. So I'm sure that when David became king, Doeg made himself scarce if he was still around. We don't know where Doeg was. He probably didn't go out to battle with the warriors. He probably hung around with the sheep. When David became king of the land, Doeg probably disappeared. But God knew where he would go and what would happen to him. And David was sure here that God would take care of business. So the idea of this maskil, this instruction, is to leave evildoers in the hands of God, because God will make sure to take care of business. In the meantime, we are to be seeking like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. Trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. As we gather here, we can praise God in the presence of his saints, because we know that God is watching over things that are going on. There's nothing that happens in the world that God does not see and God does not take care of. So we can rest assured that he will take care of things and he will take care of us. Father, we thank you for opening our eyes to this psalm. We thank you for David's instruction. Thank you, Father, that there is a difference between those who practice evil and those who do not. Pray, Father, you would help us to be those who would seek your will and seek what you would have us to do. And we just thank you, Father, for taking care of us and providing for us. We thank you now for this beautiful day that you've given us. And we thank you, Father, for the purity and the wonder of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.